Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting. So those of you who would like to join us there, you could go to our website, Sound Health Options, and go to radio, and there's usually a link there. And if there isn't, somebody online with us should tell me, because I didn't check it out this morning. But you can watch what we're doing, and that's going to be an important thing today, because this is going to be a show about making decisions, about vacillating, maybe, about making decisions, and what affects you about making those decisions. We're going to bring up some factoids first, and then get into the meat of the show. That was probably a bad way to put that, the meat of the show. We put it up as, is it possible to let the numbers decide? Can your job make you sick? Will that new date be the right one? Is that the right food? What's your favorite color have to do with your personality? Why do you like the music that you like? Who is the real you? Are you just letting life happen, or would you like a clue as to where or what would be the most compatible with you? So often I am asked, why do I do this show? It takes a chunk out of every Sunday I have. My family doesn't like it very well. I'm being told that the volume is down. That volume is on my computer as high as it can go. I'll try to get closer to the mic and do it that way, or I can speak louder. Well, I do this show because I think you have a right to know. And if I have a tool that can help, am I obligated to share? I think so. So we're going to use the Nano Voice today. And for those of you with us who don't have that, it's Nano Voice, N-A-N-O, voice.org. Somebody has taken the name now. They're using it as a tiny recording reminder on iPod. So somebody else is using Nano Voice. So ours is nanovoice.org. I thought I would share a few things with you today that I found in the last couple of weeks. People send me this great stuff. There's a lady named Madeline who's on with us, and she sends me this incredible funny stuff a lot of the time. And then when I start to do the show, I can't find it. One of the things I wanted to discuss a bit was oil prices and what is really going on with oil and gasoline. So I'm putting up an article for those of you who aren't with us, aren't watching. It is from the Los Angeles Times. And I will put the reference to it. Maybe I'll put the reference to it in our chat, so you can go look at it if you would like. Well, that is not what I wanted to put up there. That was an invitation. And I don't know how to erase that. Well, I guess I'm not going to put up any kind of chat. Well, I'll just put it in here. Los Angeles Times, and it's in the article collection, and it's called Oil Companies Are Making More Money and Less Fuel. If I could spell fuel. Now, look at this. Gas prices are skyrocketing, and I really do have a reason for telling you this because I have an idea at the end of the show. Over the last 3 months, gas prices increased 69% over last year, big oil companies, Royal Dutch Shell, turned a profit of $6.3 billion in the first quarter. British Petroleum, despite lingering costs from the Gulf oil spill, made $7.1 billion. ExxonMobil earned nearly $11 billion in the first 3 months of the year. Now, when you consider that in terms of what I just brought up on Lima LeBeau's show, they're seeing it. Okay. When you buy a gallon of gasoline, the government, your state and federal government, taxes each gallon up to 48 cents. Now, last year they taxed 44 cents. So they brought that up. That sounds like a small bit, right? Gallons sold per day, 391 trillion. So nearly a half a dollar. So they collect per day $187 million. And in a year, $68 trillion because you bought gasoline. And they are making more and more money all the time. It seems to me that there is something wrong with that scenario. So what I would like to do is make a suggestion. If we choose, we're just going to use one of their own tactics against them. Because their tactics, and we're going to talk about that more today, is divide and conquer. If we could choose one gas company and give all of our business to one gas company, that gas company would be in heaven. But the others would be suffering. And we would begin to start a fight between the gas companies. Now, you can't just not buy gas. You got to get to work and you got to get groceries and so forth. So just do this little trick. I don't know what we choose. Do we choose Exxon because they made the most? Let's find a company. Now, I don't know who among you probably knows this already. But let's find a company that maybe is not as much in with the big leagues. And I don't know what that would be since they're all probably the same company anyway. But I find that just absolutely incredible that they are collecting this kind of tax per year. $68 trillion. Now they're telling us that $15 trillion is a horrible number and we should be worried and our economy is going to crap and blah, 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 blah. But if they're collecting that much per day, $68 trillion, just on gasoline sales alone, why do we care about they're in debt for $17 trillion. What are they trying to cover up by making that a big deal? And here's the other thing. Cigarettes sold per day. A package of cigarettes is well over $5 in most places now. In New York, get this, people. New York, $4.35 per pack. Now, that sounds absolutely incredible, doesn't it? $4.35 per pack. Here it is. Here's the fact sheet. Number one ranking is New York. $4.35 per pack. Now, a pack a day $4.35. What are you paying New York to smoke? $15,000 a year or something? Let me grab a calculator here and see what that really is. That's crazy to me. A pack a day. So $4.35 times 2 weeks. And that's not as much money, but that can't be right. Oh, I did it by week, that's why. Duh. So $4.35 times 365 days. About $15,087 you are paying New York if it's one pack a day. What are they doing with that money? They say they are taking care of your health and everybody else who smokes. So why Obamacare to take care of the smokers and everybody who has a problem? They're collecting taxes several ways around. Gasoline taxes? They said, oh, well, that's for the roads. Well, if that's true, what about license plates? Well, that was for the roads. So they're taxing us in several different directions at once. Cigarette tax, oil profits, gasoline taxes. Here's a little chart. We could put that up in the links. This is gasoline taxes versus Exxon profit. Now, we just discovered they made $114 billion, and now they're saying that they make less than 2 cents. I find that incredible. They make less than 2 cents on each dollar. Oh, here it is. Exxon reports that in 2010, it made less than 8 cents of every dollar of revenue from all of its business around the world. But here is the tax per gallon, state tax. Now, this is federal state tax for every gallon of gas. Think about this next time you fill up. You're giving the state 48 cents. And it comes down to this. Who's controlling the prices? Who's controlling the price of gasoline? The tax people. Who is controlling the price of cigarettes? The tax people. Why do they deserve $4.35 of every package of cigarettes? Now, I don't smoke, but I just find that ridiculously unfair for what's going on. Here's another ridiculously unfair thing. Skip over to a little bit about other kinds of abuses here. For those of you watching us, you're looking at something from the Alliance of Natural Health, and they just sent me this out of the blue, and I don't really know who these people are. I sent a little message to my lawyer, who knows these kinds of things, and said, are these the good guys? And he said, he doesn't know. Oh, we've got a couple of questions here. The bottleneck next to my understanding is the few refineries that are owned by the few. Sheets and the small gas stations need to get theirs from those refineries. Boy, if we can find out who's the smallest or who we like or whatever, they need all those taxes so the government can fully fund their own health care and fully fund their own retirement packages. Boy, brings up something. Do you know that the government, Congress people, have opted themselves out of Obamacare? They've got themselves a better package. And this really does have something we're going to tie in at the end here about why we're talking about all of this. But this is a big one. It says, FDA's new claim, your body is a drug and we have the authority to regulate it. Now I know where all of this crap is going. I have figured it out, folks. I'm going to read this for those of you who are not on with WebEx with us. In another outrageous power grab, FDA says your own stem cells are drugs. These are the stem cells your body's making. And stem cell therapy is interstate commerce, because it affects the bottom line of FDA-approved drugs in other states. when you get to the bottom of this, and they don't say it out loud, but you have to have stem cells to create a child. What they are looking at here is your children will belong to the drug companies now. If the stem cells belong to the government, and they've just shown there's patent now, and you create a stem cell, it's now patented by that drug company. We got a problem here. The article goes on. We wish this were a joke, but it's the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's latest claim in its battle with a Colorado clinic over something called Regenerex, a non-surgical treatment for people suffering from moderate to severe joint or bone pain using adult stem cells. The FDA asserts in the court document that it has the right to regulate this clinic because stem cells are drugs and therefore fall under their jurisdiction. The clinic argues that stem cell therapy is a practice of medicine and is therefore not within FDA's jurisdiction. Well, that's stupid because everything medical is under their jurisdiction anyway. The clinic is engaged in interstate commerce and is therefore subject to FDA regulations because any part of the machine or procedure that originates outside Colorado becomes interstate commerce once it enters the state. Think about this. The FDA, it just nakedly says in court, and I'm reading here, documents that the agency wants to protect the market for FDA-approved drugs, which means your stem cells that you generated. How crazy is this? Think about this movie, The Borg, and I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's a Star Trek thing, and it's this beehive kind of collection, and they have a queen bee, and she's all trussed up with all different kind of mechanical head and brain and arms, and she has very little human left except maybe her face. So they go to these planets and they grab people, and without any anesthesia or anything else, they modify them to be a part of the hive. And their thing is resistance is futile. I think that's where our government is going. If they can keep this up and say that stem cells, therefore your children that you just hatched, belong to them, and they can shoot them up or experiment with them or do whatever, we're in deep doggy-doo, people. This is that frog attempt. You know, you put the frog in the temperature it likes and then slowly turn up the fire and pretty soon he's boiled and then yours to eat. I think we're going to the same place with our own government, and it doesn't seem like there's any place to stop. The only place it seems reasonable, and one of the things people have written me today is I can't listen to the show I want to, but today's the day in California that we have to go out and get petitions against GMO non-labeling. So there's those local things. Ron Paul is a local network, they have meetups about this. We need to get rid of these yahoos in Congress who are voting the wrong way. Watch your Congress people. Go to them. They have an office in your district. Ours is within 40 minutes of where we live. We want to see them. We had them explain to us why they voted a certain way. And most of the time, we were opening their eyes because they had these lobbyists in front of them that explained it a totally different way. Hidden agendas. Our hidden agenda is our self-rights to do what we want to and need to do for ourselves. Lots of wonderful new articles. Some of them eye-opening. Some of them just makes you want to give up because it just seems there's nothing else left for us to do. There's another one here, an article about Stonehenge that I wanted to share with people. I just found one, too, that I want to share. The U.S. school children now subjected to sack lunch searches by government agents who enforce nutritional insanity. You guys have probably heard about this on the news. It's been crazy. A kindergartner had a turkey and cheese sandwich, and I think a banana, some apple juice, maybe some chips. They took that away from her and gave her chicken nuggets to eat. That's insanity, isn't it? But they're claiming the right. Now, here's something people may not know. This insanity started in Chicago with Rahm Emanuel. Remember him? He was some bigwig in the Obama administration and went to get a job as mayor in Chicago, and they wouldn't let him run because he wasn't a citizen of Chicago. And they went through this whole rigmarole, and he lost the election. They went back in. Oh, now he won the election. So that is a testing ground, and they are going in and testing it on low-income folks and rural America. They think we won't fight back. Jump to something nice, and I think this was sent in by Madeline. Stonehenge design was inspired by sound. Music could have been the inspiration for the design of Stonehenge, according to American researcher. And this is in Science. Well, it says, the host has deactivated my microphone. Since I'm the host, okay, guys, do I have a microphone back? No, I don't. Well, for those of you on Blog Talk, I am trying to reactivate my own voice here. For those of you who are on with us, somehow my microphone has been taken away from me, and you'll have to go back and listen. I don't know where that's coming from. Go back and listen on Blog Talk Radio, because I don't know what has happened in any way, and it's quit recording. So whatever has happened, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to leave the conference and try to come back in. Well, you're going to have to go over to Blog Talk, because I don't understand in any way what has happened here and who has cut me off of our WebEx meeting center. I will try to go out and come back in. I don't know if that's going to work, but hang on here, folks, while I do this. For those of you listening on Blog Talk, I am sorry about this. And we'll ask a question, I guess, while we're out here. See if I can bring this back in. It says that a server is totally down. So I think WebEx might be down. I'm not really sure. But that's certainly going to put a kink in what we're trying to do here on a live show with Blog Talk. So I am getting absolutely no feedback from anyone. I don't even know if we're on the show. I don't know if someone has attacked my computer. I'm just not sure.